All right, without further ado, welcome Pastor Craig.
Morning all, how you doing? Whoa, that's loud. Hope you're all well this morning. Why don't we pray before we get into the word? Father God, just thank you that we're able to come together and hear your message this morning. So Lord, I ask that you would use me as your vessel, speak clearly to your people, Father, that we may leave here transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, church, I hope you are well this morning. I have a really, really simple message for you, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. In fact, that is the key to my message, sharing. Okay? It is good to share. All right? For those of you that don't know what sharing is, that's nervous laughter from some of you. Sharing is an act of giving. Sharing is the distribution of something of your own to others. Some definitions say it's an enjoyable presentation of something that is yours to another. Okay? Sharing, really, really simple. I was wondering how I could show you how simple sharing is. So I bought you a gift. In fact, we bought you quite a few gifts. So, Pastor Kerry, they're not all for you, mate. I've seen you dipping your fingers in during worship. God sees all, man. God sees all. So, hey, look, I'm gonna hand this to the front row. Pastor Kerry, can you distribute, like, maybe out that way? This is just chocolate, for those of you that are unsure what these scary boxes are. Dav, do the right thing, babe. Whereabouts? Down the back, maybe. Eth, gone. All right. Can you guys just make sure, like, try and get those boxes around? I hope no one chews loud, because you'll be judged by the other 180 of the people in this room. So, hey, look, there's a biblical concept here, and we actually mention it during tithes and offerings all the time, because when we share, we shouldn't share begrudgingly, right? We should share cheerfully, because God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I haven't seen this level of engagement from the people in a long time. Russ, this is amazing. Like, look at the smiles on people's faces. Woo! All right, so just one other thing with sharing, okay? Because sometimes we get this mixed up or confused, or we overthink this idea of sharing. Sharing is not dependent upon the response of the recipient. Sharing is not dependent upon the response of the recipient. You see, I'm really, really sorry if you're like dairy intolerant here this morning. I don't think Brits is in the room, so I got away with that one. But if you are, my intent was not bad. You see, when we share, often the recipient assumes positive intent. Regardless of whatever it is we're handing over, the recipient often assumes positive intent. Now, be sensible with that, okay? If you go and hand something over that is not nice, you're probably going to get a not nice response, okay? But generally speaking, when we share, the outcome is not our problem. And I want you to have that in your mind as the preface to what I'm sharing with you this morning. You see, many of you will have seen our blogs and our social network posts about the kind of theme of this morning. And you're hopefully excitedly expecting to hear about our global missionaries and their exploits. And while I'll reference them shortly, I want to focus on their motivation this morning. Not who they are, but their motivation, why they do what they do. And I want to reassure you that if you're wondering, or if you're thinking, why should I care? How does this apply to me? These people all over the world doing whatever they're doing in Jesus' name. What has that got to do with me? I would say to each and every one of you, it's got plenty to do with you. So please, stick with me this morning. Because even if you think missions is not something you need to be concerned with, there is plenty in the Bible around mission, and none of us are excluded. None of us are excluded, and none of us are able to self-exclude. All right, so if you're thinking of copping it out right now and saying, no, not for me. I ask you to open your mind this morning. The concept of mission is a really basic principle that is applicable to all of us. All of us, no exceptions. And I want to share with you why our global team are out in the field, locally, nationally, and internationally. And I want you to understand that they are not super Christians. They are not church celebrities. They don't have a calling that is beyond your own. They don't have a calling that is above anyone else's. And maybe that surprises some of you, but it's true. They are regular people, Jesus-loving people. So let me share some of their motivation with you. And this is a verse I come back to time and time again, Matthew 28:18-20. I love seeing it above our baptismal. It says, it's the words of Jesus from the Great Commission to the disciples. It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It is this commissioning that resonates with our global team. It is this commissioning that has motivated them into their decision to follow Jesus to the ends of the earth. And we should remember that this is our commissioning too. To share the good news of Jesus with others. And I'm aware that some of us in the room might not be sure what that good news actually is. It's a term we use a lot, the good news. But if you don't know what it is, then you might have a problem sharing it. So if you've forgotten, or if no one's ever told you, let me fill you in my own words. You see, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was sent by God into this world, not to judge the world, but to save it. He came to show us God's character, to share his teachings, to example the way. The good news is that Jesus came to bring us a great hope and give us the opportunity to be in right relationship with him. He took all of our sin through death on the cross, but death could not hold him, and he rose to life again. You see, Jesus tells us that those who confess with their mouths and believe in their hearts that he is Lord and Savior will receive eternal life with the Father. Our sins are forgiven, our slate wiped clean, our wrongs no longer remembered, and a place prepared for you in the Father's house. That's the good news. And it's available to each and every one of us today. So in case you hadn't heard the good news of Jesus, know that that is what it is. And if you want it, it's a free gift for you today. You were so excited about the chocolates. For real. That was the gospel message, church. Whew. I'm sorry. I was excited. I'll tone it down now. So, why share? We're encouraged to share because it's part of God's character. God loves to share. That's why it's so good. It's something so good. Why wouldn't we share it? I gave you chocolates this morning. Like $9.50 chocolates from Woolworths. Half price special. I see people whooping and hollering. Celebrating. Isn't this good news? Isn't this so much greater than a cheap little box of chocolates, church? You see, we should know that this is not some kind of standalone request from God, like some one-time thing that he mentioned and then he just forgot about it. It's part of his character. Is something he regularly and often encourages. He speaks specifically about sharing the gospel. In John 15:16, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." In numerous verses, he reminds us that sharing is something that is so, so valued by God. Matthew 6:1-4 says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." You know, Pastor Kerry mentioned this on Discovery Sunday. God so loves us to be of generous culture, of generous nature, that he has rewards stored up for you. That's how much he values sharing, giving. You know, that particular chapter continues with that well-known passage about storing up your riches. It says in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Are you hearing the call away from the material things of this earth, church? Are you hearing the call of Christ saying, share? Share in so many different contexts. Share my gospel. Share what you have. Share your things. Don't store things up here or there. Look upwards. I got rewards for you. Don't worry about this stuff at ground level. There's a strong heartbeat throughout the Bible that points us to a culture of generosity towards one another. To not keep material things on this earth, but to focus our attention on the things of God and His treasure. We're taught selflessness in these verses rather than selfishness. We know that the early church had an incredible grasp of this. This is referenced in the book of Acts. In Acts 4:32, it says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had." Does that not sound remarkable? Sharing everything, allowing each other to use and partake of one another's belongings. That really is a counter-cultural thought for us to ponder. I wonder how self-focused we've become as a society. I wonder how we would have fared in the early church referenced in the book of Acts. Mate, that's my phone. You can't touch that. That's my car. That's mine. Away from me. Perhaps the greatest act of selfless sharing is explained in John 3:16. God's character is highlighted through the giving of His only Son. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God had one, only one Son. His precious Son. And because of His great love for us, He gave Him. As a dad, that tears me up to think that a father could do that. It's incredible. That's incredible love. I can't even imagine. You see, I've searched the scriptures and I cannot find a verse that encapsulates the nature of God to share with us that is greater than John 3:16. "For God so loved us, He gave." He shared His one and only Son with us. So I wanted to lay that as the foundation, as that principle of sharing this morning, both in terms of our belongings and in terms of the gospel, So when you are introduced to our global team, you understand what resonates through them. You understand their motivation for why they have done what they have done. They're ordinary people called of God, just like you and I, outworking that calling in incredible ways. So, church, I want to illustrate how our global team have interpreted these verses and put them into practice this morning as a way of showing you some of the ways in which the principle of sharing can be applied. So let's look at them one by one. Okay, this is our global team. You've actually received a handout this morning with really, really tiny, tiny pictures of them. If you want to see bigger pictures of them, they're coming up on the screen, and pictures of them are in the foyer on our global missions board. But Dave Bonanno, first one up. Now, Dave is in the back corner of this room. For anyone that wants the real thing and not just a picture, that man is in the back corner of the room. All right, David is one of our elders, and he's from our congregation. Okay, he is the Asia Pacific Area Director for Youth for Christ International. And he goes around supporting local leaders through the Asia Pacific region. And obviously, Youth for Christ's mission is to bring the gospel to each and every new young generation. Okay, and David is part of the leadership team at Youth for Christ. He is often flying all over the Asia Pacific region, encouraging, providing wisdom, sharing his experience with leaders in the local context. So that is Dave. Steve and Jan Warren, again, if you want, we can do that. You want a woo? Steve and Jan, again, if you want the real thing on the second row, Steve and Jan are here. In fact, we will be hearing from Steve and Jan. I think they are going to preach later this year. They are senior leaders with Youth with a Mission. We sometimes reference that as YWAM. If you've never knew what YWAM meant, it's Youth with a Mission. And they've been doing that for over 25 years. They're based out of Perth, but you're global pretty much. You go, every 5 minutes, I'm like, I don't know where Steve and Jan are. They're going out just into the field doing what they do. And they also run language classes as well, TESOL. So that's just part of their portfolio. James and Nat, thank you, Pastor Kerry. You can just keep doing that, Pastor Kerry. You just like rev it up. James and Nat are also in the room. Okay, they're just behind the white pillar over there. So they're currently, obviously, right back here in Perth and in the room. They're part of our congregation. And they've recently completed a number of years out in Asia, okay? Again, working in areas where the good news is in short, short supply, okay? And they're currently exploring their next port of call. But they're a great couple. If you'd like to chat with a dynamite couple that are just sold out for mission before they head back to the field, guys, get in touch with these guys, okay? If you're wanting first-hand understanding about long-term mission work, just encourage you to speak to James and Nat, Steve and Jan, Dave Bonanno up the back. Great resources that are actually in the room, but not for that much longer maybe with James and Nat. Robin Schroeder, again, a member of our congregation called by God, and again, has gone into, just like James and Natalie did, called into a highly sensitive Asian region to share the gospel. The nation that she's in has recently clamped down even further on any foreign input of faith, thus making it a highly, highly volatile and dangerous place to share the gospel. Robin's actually based in a nation where officially only 2.3% of the population identify as Christian, okay? However, it is thought that there are millions and millions more Christians in the underground church out in Asia where Robin is. Forgive me for being cryptic, but it's really, really sensitive out there. So I'm going to tell you that she's in a continent, and you can work out the rest. To give you an idea, when I say 2.3% of the population identify as Christian, in Australia, in our most recent census, 52.1% identified as Christian. So I hope that just puts you in a little bit of perspective for you, that how sparse Christianity and the good news is in some of these regions. The next one is Tim and Claudia, again from our congregation, and they've served for many, many years out in the slums of Brazil. Okay, Claudia's originally from Brazil. Timbo isn't, he's an Aussie. Only a couple of years ago, they decided that the Lord was leading them back into Asia. And subsequently, they spent a little bit of time recalibrating back here in Perth before joining Asian Tribal Ministries, which is based on the Thai side of the Myanmar border. Okay, so they share the good news with a nation of just over 60 million people, in which the Christian population makes up, now it depends on which figures you look at, either 0.7% at the low end or 1.2% of the nation's faith. Tiny, tiny percentages have been converted or found Jesus. Tim and Claudia are part of a team that actually reach into highly remote, difficult regions. Okay, they are working with a number of hill tribes where it's just really difficult to get to them. Some of which have never ever heard the good news of Jesus, okay? And in fact, a Hillside team just last year went out to Asian Tribal Ministries and had an amazing time and saw firsthand just how remote those areas on the Thai-Myanmar border Tim and Claudia are ministering in. Okay, moving on. And probably we're moving into some of the lesser known missionaries that we have. Joshua and Cushy Lal. Joshua is the pastor of a church in Faridabad, northern India. Okay, this is part of a relationship that stemmed out of, again, the congregation. Joshua is the brother of a lady in our congregation. Okay? And that relationship has been developed over a 20-year period. Joshua preaches in an environment where Christianity makes up just 2.3% of the country's faith. Okay, it's a predominantly Hindu nation where transfer to other faith groups such as Christianity can actually result in isolation and vilification by your own family and the local community. Okay, it's an incredibly intense environment to operate in, with significant government objections to Christianity. Now, Hillside have led two teams out to India in the early 2000s and in 2012. In 2012, I had the great privilege of going out to Faridabad, and by a country mile, I have not seen a tougher environment to preach the gospel. Joshua regularly has government spies in his church, taking notes, feeding back on what's being preached within his church. Okay, those of you that know the climate in India and the current regime in India will know how oppressive it is towards Christianity. And Joshua, in a very, very, very industrial part of that country, you know, when we talk about striking the ground, man, that ground is rock hard out there. He does a great, great thing with his wife and his children and his family. And they are, in fact, they are on the brink of making some life-changing changes in their church. And I'll explain some more about that later on or maybe in the weeks to come. But for sure, keep them in your prayers, church. Layla and Moses. Okay, there's a picture of Layla. She's out in Turkey with her son, her adult son Moses. And this lady has an incredible story, which is actually, I cannot do it justice within a soundbite, okay? The relationship with Layla developed in the 90s through interaction with visitors from Hillside. And I know one of our elders, Lance, has got a great relationship with Layla and Moses. Layla was trafficked and abused as a slave before escaping her captors and meeting with a lady called Janet Stewart, who's a friend of Hillside, who shared the good news with her. Layla is now a teacher and actively discipling out there in her local neighborhood, and in particular, works with vulnerable young women. She has an incredible story, and I am actively looking at ways we might be able to present that to you here at Hillside. Godfrey Tinker, Pastor Godfrey, this is a relationship. Mate, come on, get your... This is a relationship, wow, initially developed online through Pastor Kerry, okay, and then it was cemented through a missions trip from Hillside to Uganda in 2008. Pastor Godfrey ministers near Kampala, where he leads a church of his own, as well as planting other churches and overseeing teams of pastors. Hillside sent a team to visit Godfrey in Uganda in 2010, okay? So we first met him in 2008 and then took a team over in 2010. Okay, Sadler and Merchies, the Brazilian element of the global team, they run a worldwide evangelization for Christ based in Montes Claros, Brazil, okay? It's otherwise known as a WEC base, okay? WEC stands for Worldwide Evangelization for Christ. Just rolls off the tongue. Their heart is to see the unreached people find Jesus, okay? And this relationship stems back over 20 years as a result of WEC connections here in Perth, as well as congregational connections in Brazil, okay? And in a similar vein, Hans and Rosie Schultz, they oversee a number of WEC ministry bases in Brazil. Okay, they're originally from Germany, but they've now resided in Brazil and worked with WEC International for over 30 years. And this relationship was built by our former senior pastor, Pastor Richard McAllister, back in the early 2000s, okay? Then we got a couple of others. Another familiar face that you will know, Pat Davey. She is currently in Kenya. She has arrived. She's going okay over there. For those of you that are friends with Pat, hopefully you've received her first newsletter via the global mailing list. Came out just a couple of days ago. And Pat was formerly with Youth for Christ, YFC, same as Dave Bonanno. Okay, she does a lot of incredible work still. John Bastian. John is also at the back of the room. Kind of on the second from back row. John, come on, give me a wave, John. Just John's pretending he's super quiet, okay? But I went to India in 2012, and some of you have seen him preach. Now, all I can say to you is if John takes his shoes off and gets anywhere near this stage, there's going to be fire, okay? There's going to be Holy Spirit fire. This man is an evangelist. I've seen this guy go out into the slums, and I've heard of his exploits out in the jungles of India, okay? He goes where many fear to tread, okay? John is a evangelist, and he does a lot of short-term mission over there in India. Another great person to speak to if you're interested in evangelizing, John Bastian, I can't recommend him enough. The last two, Hillside Christian College, led by Tanya Magenta, who again is one of our former congregation members. They go on an annual trip to Cambodia. serving in remote communities there, bringing the Word of God to schools and to remote villages. And obviously, finally, our church partnership with Compassion Australia. Now, we have over 150 sponsored children in northern Thailand. That's more or less, that's just shy of the amount of people in this room. The same amount are sponsored over on the border of northern Thailand. It's an incredible work that Compassion do. And you hear fairly regularly about some of the Compassion work that we do, and we go on regular trips around about every 18 months. I'm yet to find any of the Hillside team that have gone over to northern Thailand, over to the border, that haven't come back and just said, wow, it works. It's incredible. It goes so far beyond what we even think it does. And so we love that relationship, and we love how generous you are towards those children over there in northern Thailand. Just lastly, and this sits kind of just outside of our global team, but it's also worth mentioning because it's got mission in mind, is Hillside Church Community Outreach, okay? That doesn't sit within our global team, that sits within our welfare wing, okay? But again, we just love serving the local community. We don't have the percentage statistics on how many people do not know Jesus that come in for food, that receive prayer, that receive salvation, okay? And I can't tell you where they go. I can't give you reasons why they're not all sitting in the room today. But again, our responsibility is to share the good news. I can't control what happens thereafter. I've got no interest in that because that's for the Holy Spirit to do. But that's right here, right on our doorstep church, that we want to share food and the Word of God. So, church, I hope you've gained some very, very basic insight into the people, just like you and I, that as Hillside family we support here. It's so important that you're aware of their work and your role in supporting the global team. You may think you've got nothing worth sharing with them. Or maybe you're thinking, how could I possibly make an impact in any of their lives? I just want you to know that they are so appreciative of your love, your care, and support. And I want you to know that they've asked me to thank you all for your faithfulness to them and your willingness to generously support them in a multitude of ways. And for those of you that are not aware, Hillside supports our global team through three primary ways. Okay, the first one, so important, is prayer. If you don't know what to pray for these guys, pray for favor, for safety, for health, for wisdom, for strength, for equipping. You know, some of those basic things that we might just overlook. Oh, they're super Christians, aren't they? They're like missionaries. They're amazing. They're just like you and I. They need the same things that you and I need. Pray for them, church. They love your support and encouragement. They love your emails. They love your video calls in some of the places that we are in. They're able to take video calls. They love them. Many of our team are in distant lands with little or no direct Christian support. So your encouragement is actually priceless. And finally, obviously, it's a simple one. Not necessarily the most important one, let it be said, but financial giving. And I want to thank all of you that give into our global account. Okay, just so there's an understanding, this is a separate account from our tithes and offering account, okay? And the church actually tithes a minimum of 10% of our tithes and offerings into our global account. It's often a lot more than that goes in from the tithes and offerings account into the global account. We're currently receiving 42% of the finance needed to meet our financial commitments to our global team. Okay, so we're way, way behind. The rest of that commitment is topped up out of your tithes and offerings, which obviously causes a knock-on effect to many of the other plans, projects and resources that you see around this place, okay? To put this in context, if every one of us in this room was to commit $3 per week, that's $6 a fortnight or $13 per month, we would boost that figure to just over 2/3 of our existing commitment, okay? $3 a week would take it up to somewhere in the region of 66, 67% of our existing commitment. So can you imagine if each of us gave $6 a week? We'd actually reach our commitment, our financial commitment to our global team, okay? So this is not me putting a hard word on you, actually. You've got details on your handout if you would like to give. But I'm asking you to prayerfully consider if you would give, okay? It's not an arm twist. I'm asking you to go away and pray about it, okay? That $3 is less than a cup of coffee per week. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider giving into the global account to see that work that has begun in all of these places continue to flourish. And so that's the last I'll say about that. Next week, what we're going to do is we've got a whole load of souvenirs from our recent compassion trip to Thailand that the people that went on that trip, the volunteers that went on that trip, have donated back into the church. And we're going to have a little shop, again, to raise one-off funds for the missions team. Right the way across the board. It's not going to go back to Thailand. It's going to be split up across all of our team. So next week, we will have a little shop. We're going to have a heap of little bags and scarves in particular that are handmade by the kids and the families of the children that we sponsor. Just as we prepare to close, I'd just like to ask Dave and Steve and Jan and James and Nat and John, would you come up? Church, could we pray? Not just for these guys in the room, but we have a team globally, far and wide. Will you pray with me this morning? I'm asking you that our prayers would go so far, so far beyond this room, that the Holy Spirit would overflow through into the far-flung regions of northern Thailand, of northern India, Brazil, wherever else, Uganda, Turkey. So church, will you pray? Will you pray? Father, I just thank you for our global team. I thank you for Dave, Steve, Jan, Nat, James and John, who stand in this room, who represent that team this morning. But Lord, we lift each of them up. We lift them up by name. Claudia, Tim, Pat, Robin, Joshua Cushy, Layla Moses, Godfrey, Sadler and Merchies, Hans and Rosie, the Hillside Christian students, the Compassion Projects, Father, and all of their families and networks. We lift them up right now to you, Lord God, and we thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for their calling. We thank you for their attentiveness to hear your word and to go and act upon it. Lord God, this morning I'm asking that you'd strengthen each and every one of them. You'd continue to equip them mightily, Lord God, to outwork the calling that you have placed in their hearts. Father, for all of those that are particularly in remote areas, Lord, I'm asking that they would hear the prayers of your people in this small little room in Forestfield. Father, that it would be like a thunderous roar of the Holy Spirit would go through their homes, go through their hearts, go through their minds. It would just be so refreshing to each and every one of them that they would know their brothers and sisters at Hillside care for them, love them, and just encourage them in serving you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we just once again commit them afresh, Lord God. Would you use them as they stand and say, "We are your vessels, Lord. Use us mightily." Lord, we ask that you would bless them, you would protect them, you would go before them in every which way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we give these guys a round of applause, guys? Worship team, can I ask you to pop back up, please, worship team, as we close. So, church, you now know just how strong a history Hillside has of sending people out into the world. And you know, out into the world could be just outside of these four walls. It could be right on our doorstep. It could be your next door neighbours. It could be your workplace. It could be to the ends of the earth. You see, it's not about how far away you go. It's just about that great commissioning and that heart attitude to share the good news. We've seen it today. We've seen how simple it is to share. It's not dependent on the response of the recipient. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can cause that response of knowing Jesus. We can only sow the seed and share the good news. That's all our responsibility is. I hope you've also seen that this team is not filled with celebrities, filled with superheroes. It's so regular. It's so real. It's us. It's you and me out locally, nationally, internationally. Just Jesus loving people. Their calling is no different to our own. As Jesus asked us to go and make disciples and share the good news. You know, church, we've shared communion this morning. We've worshipped together this morning. And we've shared chocolate this morning. But the key to this message is not what we share in this room. The key is to have a culture of generosity, to share what we have been entrusted with. For where does it all come from in the first place? You see, sharing is a powerful thing. So, church, will you share the gospel of Jesus this week? Will you share the character of God by generously blessing someone this week? Will you support the global team in prayer, support, encouragement, or by your giving? Because Jesus tells us it's good to share. For God so loved us, He gave His one and only Son. He shared His most precious Son out of love for us. Let us in turn share His good news. Why don't we stand? Why don't we sing, church?